and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Presidential candidates are making their final arguments in the states that'll decide who goes to the White House. Correspondent Jared Hill is in Warren, Michigan.
In Western battlegrounds Thursday, both candidates zeroed in on women voters. In Phoenix, Vice President Kamala Harris seized on comments made by former President Donald Trump when he said he's going to protect women from migrants, whether they like it or not.
He does not believe women should have the agency and authority to make decisions about their own bodies.
He called you garbage.
Trump tried to keep attention on President Biden's comments from earlier in the week, seemingly calling a Trump supporter's remark garbage.
To quote a long-gone comic strip called Pogo, we've seen the news, and it's us. CBS is being sued. Here's Jennifer Kuiper.
In the complaint, former President Donald Trump says CBS's 60 Minutes interview of his Democratic rival, Kamala Harris, earlier this month was misleading. He alleges that the network aired two different responses from Harris regarding a question about the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
CBS News says the interview was not doctored and 60 Minutes did not hide any part of the vice president's answer to the question at issue. A 7-week strike that has shut down Boeing assembly lines may be nearing an end. Cairo Radio's Matt Markovich has more from Seattle on a tentative agreement.
A tweet sent out by the union says negotiators have reached an agreement on a proposal that calls for a 38% wage increase over 4 years, a $12,000 ratification bonus, the previous amount was $7,000, and a $5,000 lump sum payment into an employee's 401k plan.
Well, that news comes just ahead of this morning's October jobs report. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says expectations are low.
Remember, both the Boeing strike and two hurricanes hit during the reference period of this report. And that's likely to negatively impact the results.
In New York, opening statements expected today in the manslaughter trial of a Marine Corps vet charged with killing a homeless man in a subway train. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
It took over a week to pick a jury, and it wasn't only because this is a high-profile case. The prosecution claimed that the defense picked jurors based on racial criteria. The defense maintained that they were merely staying away from anyone who had some involvement with drug abuse, mental illness, and homelessness.
In Atlanta, Jeffrey Williams, better known as rapper Young Thug, has been released after pleading guilty to racketeering, weapons, and drug charges.
I take full responsibility for, you know, my crimes or my charges.
Instead of jail time, he gets probation. Wall Street, S&P futures are up 15 and a quarter. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we wrap up the week in part one with State Representative Scott Krug, and in part two, ADRC's Rhonda James, right here in WFHR.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison entertainment critic and CityCast Madison editor Rob Thomas. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr will be here for Bar Band Friday Night with some most excellent new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
5 weeks. There are people like Anita all across Dane County. And because the need is there, so are we. This year, we'll provide Anita and other women, children, and men with nearly 20,000 nights of shelter. Just one part of more than $1.4 million in food, clothing, furniture, and other goods and services we provide. We're St. Vincent de Paul, helping our neighbors in need.
The
Jim Rome Show.
Jets, can you get an interim head coach for your interim head coach? Because clearly, running Bob Saleh into the chipper accomplished exactly nothing for this team. If your D coordinator is now your interim head coach, does that mean that nobody is coordinating the defense? This alleged Jets championship defense made Russ look like Joe Namath, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, Fran Tarkington, and John Elway all rolled into one.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM.
The Zone.
And all of a sudden, it feels like November in Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yep, here it is. First day of November, and our temperatures have dropped, and it doesn't look like they're going to improve today. Our forecast is calling for daytime highs today no better than 48 degrees. We will have sunshine, and the winds have calmed down, but it's still going to be on the chilly side. Tonight, down to 33. Tomorrow, sunshine, 56. Saturday night, more rain in the forecast into Sunday morning. Stumach, our ag meteorologist, will tell us a little bit more about the volume of rain we can expect and where these temperatures are going. Like I said, first day of November, things starting to shut down as far as the harvest is concerned. We've got an update on that. And are you noticing more insects in your home these days? Well, guess what? A lot of the critters that are on the outside trying to get in, we're going to help you battle back. Stick around.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed and list corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Well, we are so happy to have in studio with us a very special guest. Melanie Miller is a name that many of you across the state of Wisconsin are familiar with. If you've been involved, your family's been involved in Wisconsin 4-H. A lot of different ways that she might have impacted your family, your project, your educational learning curve, your leadership abilities. And she recently was inducted into the National 4-H Hall of Fame. That's what we'll get to in just a moment. Mel and I have known each other for a long time. Let's go back. Let's remind people, Mel, about your lineage in Wisconsin. I said to Mel, this is going to be fun because you went from north to south to north again. It all started in the humble community in Barron County, didn't it?
Well, it sure did. I was born into a 4-H family in Barron County. And in fact, there was over 100 years of 4-H experience in my family. And so there was never any doubt whether I was going to be a 4-H'er.
Yeah, and that's for sure. Now, went to school at UW River Falls, and then tell us a little bit about how you did actually get into Extension. Like you said, it might have been a foregone conclusion to people that knew your family and knew you, but things were different at that time.
Well, they were, and Extension went through, you know, different times of funding concerns and so forth, but when I graduated from River Falls, I did some interviewing and ended up with my first job as the 4-H agent in Sauk County. So I was in Baraboo for about 5 years. And then I went back to school because at that time I had to go get the master's degree. So I went back to River Falls again and got my master's degree. Came back to Sauk for just a little bit of time and then moved up to Dunn County and spent about another 4 or 5 years in Menominee. And then after that, I went to the state 4-H staff and then spent the rest of my career, 20-some years, on the state 4-H staff.
4 or 5 years in Dunn County. I thought you were there longer. Mel and I, that's where Mel and I overlapped. That's where we were first compadres.
Yep. Yeah, we had fun doing a weekly radio show.
Yep.
And doing some things like Alice in Dairyland Finals and so forth. Yes, we had a good time in Menominee.
Yeah, we did. We did. Now, and then, as she said, on to the state staff situation. And like you said, extension is like anything in agriculture, anything in rural communities. It changes, it evolves. Tell us a little bit about what you were doing initially when you came to Madison, Mel, and then how responsibilities kind of evolved.
Yes, they did. When I first came to Madison, my assignment was the agricultural areas, project areas, which meant any animal science or mechanical science or plant science. And that was about half of my job. And then that was all the events and the curriculum and so forth in those areas. I also worked with the international program. I helped get families to host and helped get young people lined up to go on an international adventure. And then there were just some odds and ends of things that I did. But as time progressed, agriculture stayed my mainstay, and that's what I really—that's my first love, and that's where I really spent a lot of my time. But then it evolved into I started doing some personnel work, where I would orientate new 4-H agents and get them started, and answer questions and be a support network for them and so forth. And then toward the end of my career, I did that for most of the time. Then toward the end of my career, we needed an interim director at our state 4-H camp. And that was one of my most unusual experiences, I guess. I never really saw myself doing that, but it was a very interesting experience. It was a good one. It was Upham Woods in the Dells. And that's where I learned to appreciate the birds, the wild birds and the snakes and all of those kinds of things. And I remember one day I had a mouse come and stand in my office doorway, stand right up and look at me like, how dare you do anything about the mice?
Yes.
That was the day we called the
exterminator.
Yeah, the exterminator.
Mel Miller in studio with us again. Like I said, probably a name that many of you, if you've been connected with 4-H in Wisconsin, recognize. Part of the reason I say that is what you alluded to, your responsibilities in agriculture. They have that, where's Waldo? Where's Melanie? Because during county fair season, I can't imagine, like, if your vehicle sees you coming towards it, if it does it groan out loud where you're going from one spot to the next spot to the next?
Well, my biggest connection with county fairs was judging.
Yeah.
I did a lot of judging and livestock and a lot of other projects, but I did a lot of that. So I did travel the state a lot. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of nooks and crannies in Wisconsin that I haven't been to or don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. But then again, State Fair, I played a lot of roles at State Fair, and just a lot of our summertime events, like our animal science days and our plant science days and those things that we did back in those days.
State Fair, World Beef Expo. You're one face I can almost always rely on seeing somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, as we said, extension has changed, but the core values of 4-H still remain the same. I don't want to blindside you. I'm sure you've got stories that could keep us here for hours. But what kinds of things resonates as you've been reflecting, I know, because of your special honors. What kinds of stories pop to your mind when you kind of think back to either when you started, halfway through, the people that you've met? And I know you've got a wealth of folks that are listening in on this, wondering if they're going to be brought up.
Well, I just have, the stories are, there's a lot of them, and some of them have been written, and they are in several, I'm published in several books. I guess one of the things that really came to mind is we always did 4-H camp when I was in the county, and that was a real special time because you got to know the kids, especially the teenagers as counselors, and the kids as campers. It was great. And this one time I remember I had a young man that was going on a canoe trip. We were taking all the kids on a canoe trip. And so we had loaded up the canoe racks and we were driving, and happened to be riding in the cab of the pickup with me. And now when we got close, he said, I'm not so sure about this canoe trip. And we kind of questioned him why. And he said, I'm just not real sure. He said, I don't swim really well and all that sort of stuff. And And I said, well, that's okay. I said, if you don't really want to go, that's okay. Then you can just ride back to camp with me and we'll be fine. We'll help the kids get in the water and we'll be fine. Well, on the way back, he told me that his dad was on a work trip and he had been gone for quite a while. And he was really the man of the house and he had left. His mother was home alone and he was very concerned about that. Mm. So we called mom when we got back to camp to see that she was okay and she was fine. And we got through the whole experience pretty well. And years later, I ran into his dad when I was back visiting in Menominee. And his dad said to me, you know, he said, my son became a teacher. And he always remembers how you treated him and how special you made him feel when you were at camp. And how he uses that same kind of approach with some of his students sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's a really special thing to know. So it's when you touch the kids and you somehow know that you made a difference. Or the families. There's so many families that I still keep in touch with from, you know, my first job all the way through and around. Other things I think about kids and their livestock and watching them grow with their livestock and watching them do well with their livestock. I'm a big person on showmanship. I think showmanship is really important. And I always love to, when I was doing more announcing at State Fair, to announce that state showmanship and enjoy and congratulate those kids because that's something special they'll use the rest of their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the big thing is it's those life skills that we really help kids build in 4-H.
Well, and you've done such a wonderful job helping with those life skills. Like we said, Melanie Miller just recently inducted into the National 4-H Hall of Fame, one of the laureates that was recognized in Boise, Idaho. Tell me a little bit about the event. I wish I could have been there. Tell me what it was like. Did you run into some of the other folks that you've networked with through the course of your career?
Well, yes, a few of the 15 laureates that were inducted in the class of 2024, about seven of them I had met and had some connection with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they came from all over the country. So a couple of them had held national positions. Mm-hmm. So those people I knew. Otherwise, there were some like me that had spent most of their time in a state. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't met them, but I did have a chance to meet them. Very nice people.
Well, we're so glad that you spent some time sharing it with us. Now, Mel, I got to ask you. As we said, and I continue to allude to, yes, we understand Extension has gone through some challenges. It looks different today than when you first started. But what are some of the critical pieces of advice that you share with young 4-H agents that may be brand new in a county? They may not even have had 4-H experiences themselves before they began that position. What is the sage wisdom that Mel Miller tries to still impart to those people?
Well, the real basic sage wisdom is that a community 4-H club is a very special experience and that's where you get your community people together, your families together. That's where your kids learn about how to work together and not just with kids of their own age, but youth of all ages. They learn to work with adults as mentors and as helpers. I think that community club experience is so important. And when I talk to new 4-H agents, I make sure that they understand that there's nothing like that base experience to help youth really learn confidence and teamwork and just the ability to set goals and fill those goals with the help of others.
You definitely need to experience it if you have not already. Wisconsin 4-H and carrying the torch for today, forever, Mel Miller. Again, our inductee into the National 4-H Hall of Fame in the class of 2024, sharing some of her stories, her experiences, her wisdom with us today. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Ignoring established federal law, the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority overturned two lower court decisions and allowed Virginia to continue its purge of suspected registered non-citizen voters. News outlets have since confirmed that eligible Virginia voters were among them. Virginia is the latest state which has pushed such purges without adequate investigation to support a national GOP narrative, sweeping up American-born and naturalized citizens in the process. The National Voter Registration Act prohibits any purges within 90 days of an election. Virginia Public Radio and NPR have already found eligible voters on the list who apparently checked the wrong box at the DMV and now have had their registrations canceled. A similar purge of over 3,200 purported non-citizens in Alabama was halted in federal court in October. Court documents showed over 2,000 of them were valid U.S. citizens and eligible voters. In Texas, after Governor Abbott trumpeted that 6,500 non-citizen voters would be purged, the Secretary of State's office found only 581 were registered illegally, according to the Texas Tribune. Even more alarming is the Supreme Court's willingness to ignore established federal law and render a decision which, at the very least, has an appearance of partisanship, and worse, what that appearance could mean for post-election litigation. We have links to check a registration at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years.
Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of.
It like, really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little.
That's arbitrary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
17
that's
years
definitely,
ago.
Definitely 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Trigvy Olsen of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
From Fitchburg, had more than an inch and a half of rain out of yesterday's system. My friends up in, where's the other one here? Wazika, 1.7 inches of rain. So folks still bringing that in. What do we got rainfall-wise for the weekend? I see it's in the forecast.
It's in the forecast, but at least we get a drier day today, Saturday as well. It's in the weekend that low pressure tries to edge up out of the southwest, extending a little mild air north, and that could lead to some showers. And I'd expect most of that activity to pop up as we look on through maybe even late Saturday night in southwest Wisconsin, Sunday for the rest of us. Heaviest in southern Wisconsin, there could be up to an inch or more in the south again as we make our way through Sunday and into Monday. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Football players are equipped with standard equipment, helmet, shoulder pads, and cleats. What if the entire front line was issued Bobcat equipment from Bobcat Plus? Not only would the game be more interesting, the added Bobcat attachments would make cleanup and turf grooming so much easier for the groundskeeper.
Visit Bobcat Plus in Appleton and BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast for the weekend.
All right, well, how about some sun to kick it off here on a Friday? A little fog in western Wisconsin, otherwise a sunny day should be coming our way. A lot of mid and upper 40s, could be a 50 in the south, and the northwest winds will be around 5 to 10. Still clear overnight, a bit cooler. Maybe an upper 20 in the far northwest, more likely low to mid 30s. Winds become a bit variable overnight, about 5, turning south. Sunny and nicer Saturday. A lot of 50s, very low 50s in the north, upper 50s further south, south winds at 5 to 10. And then that rain chance develops late Saturday night into Sunday. Again, like I say, in the far south, maybe up to an inch or more. Temps in the mid and upper 50s, even with rain on Sunday, Pam, and a southeast breeze.
It's going to be chilly for that game on Sunday against Detroit.
Yeah, in the 50s and a little rain most likely in the area. So
yeah, no sunshine, right?
No.
Well, there goes November, as we expect around Wisconsin. All right, buddy.
It makes us think that worse things are coming.
Now, there's somebody out there that's saying, wait, I look forward to that. Well, not when you have to be up at the hours that Stu and I have to be up. So anyhow, yeah. Have a good weekend. Well. Good luck with your consignment auction.
All right, thanks. We'll catch you Monday.
All right, Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, whether it's agriculture or rural living. Check them out at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The candidates are making their final arguments in swing states that'll decide the election. Kamala Harris, quoting a Donald Trump statement in Las Vegas.
He said that he will do what he wants, now I'm about to quote, whether the women like it or not.
Trump spoke a few miles away in Henderson, Nevada.
And we will stop illegal immigration once and for all. We will not be invaded. We will not be occupied. We will not be overrun.
A 7-week strike that's shut down Boeing assembly lines may be nearing an end. Cairo Radio's Matt Markovich has more from Seattle.
The union says, quote, there is a point where we have extracted everything we can by bargaining and withholding our labor. We are at that point now and risk a lesser offer in the future.
Boeing has offered 38% wage increases over 4 years and larger signing bonuses for the striking workers. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Badgers on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. At 5-3, Luke Fickell asked if he's concerned about getting to a bowl game this year.
All we're thinking about is Iowa. And, I mean, to think anything past that is crazy.
NFL, the Packers injury list growing. Defensive back Jaire Alexander with a knee injury. Jordan Love with a groin. Starting center Josh Myers with a severe left wrist injury that could prevent him from blocking in pass protection.
It's really... It's just going to
going to depend on how I feel these next couple days, you know, and whether or not I feel like I can do it. I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, you know, so I just have to answer that question.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Grizzlies 122-99. A lot of missed open shots.
This may be the greatest make-miss night ever. The defensive transition was still awful tonight.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. They host the Cavaliers tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, heading into the final weekend of the campaign with our guests Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil, Dan Schumacher, and the weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid to upper 40s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine, warmer, mid to upper 50s. And then we have more rain on the way Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
What makes Wisconsin great?
Find out as Todd Albaugh and friends tour the state by bus, and they're coming to a city near you.
If people want to come out and say hi, first drink is on us, whether it's alcohol or not, and then some cheese curds, and we're going to be doing that all week long.
La Crosse to Eau Claire, Stevens Point to Appleton. Learn more and where to join them at civicmedia.us/whatmakeswisconsingreat.
The Todd Albaugh Show, a tour of, by, and for the people. All week, noon to 2.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Help him at some point this year, and I think he's going to play, but if he's going to turn the ball over four times in 6 minutes, it's going to be very, very tough to have him on the floor. But athletically, he's there, and I think he's got the skills, and I think he can be a really, really good defender, but he's feels like he's got a ways to go in a number of departments right now to be able to help them.
That was, I know Tanji led the way with 15.6 rebounds, 2 assists. Is this guy, this transfer looking pretty good? Give us some gusto, some bravado, some je ne sais quoi.
He hit his first shot. It was a three-pointer. He drilled it. And then he struggled for the rest of the floor. He went 2 for 11 the rest of the way from the floor. But he was really, really good at getting to the basket and creating fouls and creating contact and getting to the line. He went 8 or 9 from the line. So he did much of his damage from the free throw line. I'm not sure. I think he hadn't truly played a ton of basketball for a while here.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Boy, if you feel like you're seeing an awful lot of insects in your house lately, hey, you're not alone. Everybody in Wisconsin probably noticing an escalated presence of those multicolored Asian lady beetles or the Asian ladybugs. Stink bugs, another one that are trying to get into your house. And believe it or not, this is the time of the year when Wisconsin's tick population actually escalates. We're going to find out about it with PJ Leash, University Extension entomologist, on this Friday. So here we are already, first day of November. Happy birthday to the U.S. Weather Bureau. It started on this day back in 1870. The Milwaukee office of the U.S. Weather Bureau was first established on this date. It was located in the Chamber of Commerce building at the corner of Broadway and East Michigan Street in downtown Milwaukee. Started on this day back in 1870. On this day in 1993, the Maastricht Treaty came into force. Basically, what they did was create the common currency, the euro, for all of the European Union. That started on this day back in 1993. Happy birthday to singer-songwriter Lyle Lovett, 67 years young, and actress-model Jenny McCarthy turns 52. And now you know. Look around and you know that the harvest of 2024 is about wrapped up for a lot of farms here in the state of Wisconsin. Joining us this morning, Dean Ebert. He is the market manager in West Bend for the Helena Agra Company, and he is pretty much done with things, huh, Dean? Now what are you focused on as far as the fall harvest and getting things wrapped up before the snow starts to fly?
Right. We always evaluate nutrient management plans, manure use, such all our carryover nutrients from rotational crops, cover crops. But yes, soil testing is streaming right along too with crops coming off early. We're always up against frozen ground scenario come November, but moving right along, we're going to have a lot more data earlier to make better decisions going into winter. So that's working out nicely too.
What are you seeing as far as trends on fertilizer prices? I think a lot of folks haven't had a chance to start testing the marketplace yet. Are any elements in particular catching your eye, Dean?
Right now, it looks like 28% is fairly stable, P and K as well. I mean, stuff has lowered down, peered down from what it was a year ago. We're watching urea. That may soften yet on the open market. But like my old boss used to say, when it comes to grain markets, fertilizer markets, sometimes we can put all we know, you know, about something the size of a shoebox, and then the world is going to do what it wants to do. So there's always outliers with foreign country activities going on. I mean, and there's other countries that are gobbling more product on a world standard. Like, you got like Brazil, there's 100 million acres out there that's not developed that will need tons. So we're competing with more and more other countries, other markets that weren't there before. So stuff is relatively stable at the moment, but you never know.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm assuming that you're advising folks try to lay in their supplies so you guys can make sure you're ready to roll right away next spring.
Right. I mean, our decisions for product that we have on hand had to be made months ago so that we have product now. And the same will go for spring. You have to commit relatively early on to make sure you have product in place for spring. So markets may change later on, but it doesn't always mean that that product can be available when you actually need it. So we've seen the trends before. I mean, stuff is going to be softer. We're kind of excited at this grain. This corn is dry. We're saving some money on dry down costs and shrink. And yields, like I said, are moderately okay. This is probably the most challenging year since 2012, but most guys are telling me that yields are off maybe 20 to 25 bushel off what they usually see on corn. Soybeans were within probably 5 to 10.
Yeah, and that, like you said, that given the challenges we had in spring, not too bad. So time to get that soil sampling going if it's not already underway, and then talk with your Helena rep on how you can find a little cost savings already before we even flip into 2025, huh?
Correct. I mean, our AIT people are working hard, a lot of grid sampling going. Actually, even the normal composite whole field sample that's not a grid sample, we use GPS technology now, the drop points that we can go back to when that field is sampled again 4 years from now. So our AIT program with our InSpecs is working really hard to bring more accuracy to that end of it. And, of course, we're working on seed right now. We're evaluating all our plots. And there's some stuff that's up and down with that, too. But we are seeing some trends with hybrids that we thought would yield well, and we're finding some footing on making recommendations on the best varieties from each company. And along with that, we talk about our Fast Tan product, which is a telt graphite replacement product that has a harp and protein that not only lubricates seed, but it actually pushes germ and vigor. Our research shows anywhere from 200 to 500 more plants per acre out of the ground with that product. So we tether some of that into making a good seed recommendation at this time now as well.
Very good. Dean Ebert along with us. He is the market manager in West Bend for Helena Agri. And like you said, think about what this dry weather has given you as far as opportunity for fall soil sampling, and in turn to try to capitalize on any cost savings and security that you might be able to lock in before we go to 2025, be it fertilizer or be it that customized seed. Dean Ebert along with us from West Bend. Want to find out more? Go to HelenaAgri.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on the first Friday of November. And you know, despite the fact that weather is changing outside, insect activity is ramping up, believe it or not. PJ Leash, University Extension entomologist, says he's been getting phone calls from a lot of people that are trying to battle the bugs, keep them outside, not inside. And he explains which insects are more active right now.
There has been a flurry of insect activity in Wisconsin just in about the last week and a half. And there's a handful or so of really common species that I have been seeing and getting reports of. And then there's a few other ones out there as well that have also been active. But some of the key species very active at the moment include the multicolored Asian lady beetle, also sometimes commonly known as the Asian ladybug. We also have things like box elder bugs, brown marmorated stink bugs, western conifer seed bugs, and a few other ones to get thrown in the mix as well.
That's our man PJ Leash, University Extension entomologist. He said common sense things kick in at this time of the year when it comes to keeping the bugs on the outside. He said make sure doors and windows are closed shut. He said also make sure that if you've got screens on your windows or doors, that they're in good shape and not allowing those bugs to get in. You can also try things like essential oils to keep certain insects out. But he said really, it's just a lot of common sense keeping the bugs at bay. Now listen, if you're a hunter though, that's planning on heading to the woods, maybe you want to get your deer stand set up, you want to hunt with the dogs or something like that, then you need to protect yourself from ticks. Because believe it or not, now is when we get the second wave of ticks.
We are at a time of the year where there is actually quite a bit of tick activity out there at the moment. And a reason for that is this is the time of the year where we start to see our new batch of adult deer ticks. And those creatures actually have a pretty long life cycle. It takes them 2 years to go through their whole life cycle. But those adults appear in early fall. And so if you are out there hitting the hiking trails or setting up tree stands and things like that, it's one of those things you need to be aware of, because if you're not doing those tick checks, you know, that could lead to some problems if you have encountered deer ticks.
Yikes. PJ Leash, we appreciate you. Our University Extension entomologist trying to keep you up to speed on what's happening with insects and keep you safe. Well, the markets in overnight electronic trade right now look pretty safe and on the positive side of the margin. In overnight trade, December corn's up 2 at 4.13. November beans are up a dime, 9.92. Wheat for December's up 2 at 5.72. July new crop wheat up a half at 6.07. Dairy struggled yesterday. Barrel cheese was down 6.5 at 1.86. 40-pound block cheese was down a nickel, 1.84. But AA butter gained a quarter of a cent to 2.70 and 3/4 per pound. The November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 3 cents right now at 20.15. December's up 19, currently at 19.65 a hundredweight. Here's a little trivia for you on a Friday morning. Did you know that Portugal is the world's largest producer of cork? They produce about half the world's commercial cork. They have cork oak trees, some of the largest collection in the world. Why do I bring it up? Because we're taking your reservation now to join us on our spring adventure to Portugal and Spain. Our next farm tour leaves April 5th for 13 days. Lisbon, Seville, Cordova, Madrid, just a few of the stops on this trip. You'll take in not only the history and the culture, but we're going to learn about agriculture as well. That cork production's one of the stops. We'll find out about Iberian pork production, the wineries, the olive gardens that are in Spain and Portugal, and so much more. If you're interested, I want to make it easy on you. Just text me your mailing address to our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Send me your address and I will send you a free color brochure to take a look at. Or you can jump online at holidayvacations.com. Enter my name, Pam, in the keyword search. You'll get a chance to view a video that gives you more details on the trip. Plus, you'll earn a $100 travel voucher to apply to the trip. Holidayvacations.com. Enter keyword Pam and enjoy. On the way, we're traveling to Two Rivers this morning to introduce you to a farm family that's had their farm in the family for more than 150 years. Stephanie Hoff will introduce us to the Sprang family coming up next on your Friday.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to ask you a few questions before I get where I'm going. How would it feel if you woke up every day and you knew your bills were going to be paid on time? What would it be like if you were saving money and you knew that money was automatically going to the right savings accounts? Or that you knew how much money you had left over every month to spend on the things you like to spend on? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, there is a free tool that you and anyone can use to help those things happen over time. It is called a budget. I know, your budget doesn't help you make more money, but it 100% does help you make more of your money. There are a ton of resources online to help you, including my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. The first few sessions are the hardest when you get going, but I promise it gets easier when you stick with it. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I have D.C. Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges. He was there on January 6th. We discuss, and first congressional district candidate Peter Barca. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Kevin tells me how his family got to Manitowoc County.
May 29th, 1874 was when my grandfather bought the farm. 40 acres, that's where he settled. He was a carpenter, built his own buildings, and cleared the land. But he was from Germany, and he settled there.
So he started this farm and kind of from scratch. He had to get the land ready to farm. How did it get passed on?
It went to my grandfather, then it went to my dad, and then to me. It's a four-generation farm.
That have probably seen a lot of changes over the years when it comes to building improvements, farm technology. Tell me about the early years, some of the improvements that were made on the farm.
Well, with the machinery especially, you got all small machinery. A harrow used to be 8 feet wide. Now we pull harrows that are 36 feet wide. Tractors, they go from 28 horse to, I got 250 horse. It's just big stuff. All machinery is for all, you know, for all crops. It just improves so dearly. Just immense. It just big machinery in this day and age. What I have for machinery ain't really the biggest stuff yet. There's other farmers out there. They're huge.
What about the commodities that were grown? I mean, when your great-grandfather started farming, what was he growing, what was he raising, and how did that change with the generations?
I am assuming that he was raising hay, maybe some corn for the cattle. He had milking cows, from what I understand from years ago. It was easy. I'm not saying laid back, but it was hard work, but they didn't have all the chaos like we got today.
So you said you were fortunate to hear stories from your father and from your grandfather. You know, when we think about what's happened in the last 150 years, we've seen war, we've seen crazy weather situations, we've seen the Great Depression. Any of those stories get passed on how they lived through some of those difficult times?
My dad told me a lot about the Depression. He was young. He was really young. He was like I think he was born in 1913 in the Depression was in 29, obviously, so 13, 20, about 14, 15 years old, somewhere in there. It was hard times, Daddy said. He said, Mom and Dad, his mom and dad saves everything. They try to not waste. That was the big thing. He always talked about the Depression.
What is the farm today, now, 150 years later?
I raise soybeans, oats, wheat, corn. I grow a lot of hay. I sell dry hay. I don't do any haylage or any of that stuff. That's what makes it unique, because there are not many people that do dry hay. I do about between 400 and 500 acres a year. And another thing, too, that I did not mention, we operate Christmas trees and manufacture wreaths. We do those two things. Hopefully that'll keep on going.
That's something that probably wasn't around 150 years ago.
But that was 60 already. This is 61 this year for the trees, Christmas trees. And I started the wreath manufacturing in, I think this is number 51 or 52. 52.
And the next generation is interested in continuing the legacy?
They're standing right next to me. All three of these. It's a good feeling. And I don't know what to say, but it's a good feeling. I'm glad they're here. They're going to, I believe, take over someday. and that'll bring it. Then if he takes, the youngest one is 19. If he takes over the farm eventually, he'd make it to 200 by our bicentennial. Stephanie is my stepdaughter, and my nephew, Tom, and Jeffrey, that's Tom's son. And I have no kids of my own, but I do have the next best thing.
Kevin Sprang along with us. He's the fourth generation on Sprang Farms in Two Rivers, located in Manitowoc County. We're bringing these sesquicentennial farm stories to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. You can find all this year's honorees at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tips for avoiding some of the pain of farm succession planning. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. If you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farm succession planning. The mere mention sends chills through even the toughest of us. Joy Kirkpatrick, a farm succession outreach specialist with University of Wisconsin Extension, says even farms that have done well can be a rough time during succession planning.
In some cases, some of these factors of success and having discussed them with your family and farming partners can be really uncomfortable because there are things that people don't want to talk about. That fair versus equal has a lot of emotion attached to it. Very uncomfortable emotional topics that a lot of farm families would rather not do. So it's not only that the elephant is in the room, we've even invited it to the table here.
Kirkpatrick recommends a three-step process for succession planning. Define where you are now, know where you want to be, and know how you want to get there.
Having clear and very transparent conversations, very uncomfortable conversations, to make sure that everybody understands what are the goals and how the plan might take place.
Sometimes she says it's good to bring in outside professionals who have a handle on succession planning. For more details, visit the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, could there be winds of change blowing through the northern part of Wisconsin? We'll talk to Kyle Kilborn running against Tom Tiffany. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabe, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.